when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you people out there in the world, no matter where you are, no matter what time zone you're in. You're listening to Blood River Radio. We are proudly syndicated nationally by Sam Bushman and Liberty News Radio. Matter of fact, I was talking to Sam again just yesterday. Yeah, just yesterday. We talked to him quite a bit lately. But anyway, my name, like I said, is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and just in case you haven't looked at your calendar, today is the first Saturday in January of the new year, 2025, and this will be our program, our first program, of course, since it is the first Saturday. All you people might know, we were off last week. We took off last Saturday for Christmas. Ran. And Gene and we all kind of wanted to be off at least one day for Christmas. Plus, Rand works his guts out. He's my co-host, but he seldom ever gets to sit anymore. He's working today. He certainly is. Gene will be on the third hour. Miss Monica Braveheart Schaefer, she'll be off today. But today, is, like I say, is January the 4th, in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2025. There's no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. And people, you well know, you regular listeners, this is a Christian radio show. Regardless of what a lot of people think about us, we are Christians. We're certainly not the run-of-the-mill orthodox, I guess you call it. We're kind of unorthodox. But anyway, so if you will bow your head for a quick prayer, people. Almighty God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for keeping Blood River Radio on yet another year. Thank you, God. We were able to supply the funds just this week. We were paid up in full for 1 year. Thank you for all the donors and supporters that have sent us money to do that. Without them, Lord, without you supplying those people, we could not be on the air, Lord, to fight. We could not be in the street like we have been before, like we have promised our listeners that we'll get in the street again. And we have also promised you, Almighty God, we don't just sit behind the microphone. We get out and mix it up with the evil ones. Lord, if you will, continue to bless our family. Bless Liberty News Radio. Bless Jay and Lizzie and their whole family. Bless all of our guests, all of our donors. And Lord, always, please, never let Blood River Radio, our staff, never let us lose courage, no matter how afraid we might get. Never, ever let us lose courage. And please, Lord, please don't ever take away the wisdom and the discernment for us to know who the enemy is, how to best to fight that enemy, Lord. And Lord, never, ever let us back down. Let us always fight, ride to the sound of the gunfire. I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. People, as you regular listeners, you also know, we always go to the donors. And we had several of them. In fact, I got a little card right here. We were off last week, like I said, so we have several that were backed up for 2 weeks. So here we go. My old buddy, as a matter of fact, he's a co-host on third hour, Gene Andrews. Gene Andrews sent a nice card. He always does. And he sent a donation. He surely does. How's that? He's paying the work. What do you know? We also have, so thank you so much, Bitter Ender. And we also have Jim, my old buddy Jim. In fact, I'm looking at a photograph of Jim, his granddaughter and her fiance right now on my wall. They're a precious family from Washington State, and we just love them so much. He sent us in a really nice donation. We also have the old Biscuit of Florida. Never, ever, ever fails to send in a donation. Without Biscuit, there will be no Blood River Radio. Without our donors, no Blood River Radio. We have Pam and Dennis Adams from Virginia. They donate like clockwork. They certainly do. And we got a nice card from them. I'll read these cards in just a second. We also, so thank you so much, Dennis and Pam and Biscuit and Jim and Gene. And we also have a man who's very special to me. We always call him Jay-Z from Blood River Radio Zone AZ. He's an old fellow, a vet. We're both old. You know, that old bad era of Vietnam. You know, we were both era veterans. And you know, Jay-Z came out of there wounded. He's got a Purple Heart. He still has a limp from that war. So he's paid the price up close and personal with the VC. He most certainly did. So thank you so much, dear bro. Thank you, every single one of y'all, for that donation. I really do appreciate that. Also, I might have mentioned a minute ago, Ren is off tonight. Gene and Monica is off. Gene will be coming in third hour. And I cannot tell you how important that third hour is with Confederate history. I mean, you're not going to get anywhere else. And also, we have a... Before I go to our guests, I'm going to read a few of these cards. Oh, Biscuit sent me this card right here. It's beautiful. It came from Confederate, let's see, down here, Confederate flag and cannon, Randy Steele. I did have the address, but anyway, it's a beautiful old Confederate cannon with the background of that Confederate battle flag. That's my flag. And it says, Dear Eddie, here's something to help keep the Blood River Radio battery a spitting lid in 2025. Happy New Year, Biscuit. Here's one. Let's see. I'll make this quick because time's money, but we have to pay honor to our donors. Here's one from the old Bitter Ender. Sending you wishes for a warm and wonderful holiday. And Gene wrote, very busy, very best wishes for a Merry Christmas to all the Blood River Radio crew. A donation to Blood River Radio. Gene A., second the Confederate hour. I think he meant third, but anyway, he usually comes on third hour. Anyway, Confederate history hour is what he talked about. There's nobody smarter than Gene Andrews when it comes to Confederate history. Here we go. Just mentioned Dennis and Pam. He said, your Virginia little brother and sister. Dennis and Pam, we're sending a donation. Also, I meant to tell Gene about this. They're sending a donation to the Nathan Bedford Forest Preservation Site, Blood River Radio. We've been advertising that. We've been pushing the Nathan Bedford Forest site. And so we sent them a book. What was the name of that book? I've got some more left. I'll try to plug them if we have time. We might have time to plug them tonight. We also have a card right here says, hope your season is the best, brightest, and happiest, and that's how it should be for someone as wonderful as you. Sincerely, Harold. And it says it all, and Harold also wrote a note here. It says, it starts with a prayer, hoping and asking God to help us stand tall and fight the good fight. Thank you for your loyalty, and thanks for keeping us abreast to how we can keep the fight with our enemies. Sincerely, Harold Baker. He's from over in Arkansas. I won't say exactly where. Hey, we got two more cars. I'm getting through them because I cannot disrespect the people that go to the trouble to send us cars, folks. And we also have, it says, Dear Eddie, may God's light shine upon you and fill your heart and home with joy this Christmas season. Sincerely, Jimmy. That's Jimmy from Washington, his lovely family I was just telling you about. They really flatters me when people send me photographs of their family. I feel like a part of it. And getting on down to this is the last one, folks. This is, Hi, Eddie. I hope 2025 is a healthy, he handwrote this, is a healthy, prosperous year for you and yours. I also hope that Blood River Radio remains an advocate for our people for many years, and the happy warrior keeps leading the charge against our people. Love you, brother. Jay-Z, Blood River Radio Zone AZ, and I had combat wounded Vietnam Army brother. Well, folks, that's all of the donors and the outline. Like I told you a minute ago, Rand and Monica are off. Gene will be coming on the bitter end of the third hour for his advanced history class. And I want to start recording that in a chronological order. Anyway, people, we've got about a minute before we go to break. Now we're going to bring in a star guest. I called him before he came on the program. He's Mr. Charlottesville, a Unite the Right organizer, none other than Jason Kessler. Me and Jason have a lot to cover tonight. I was up there. I've toot my little horn. I was with the political cesspool then. I was sent, I was the one from TPC. I went to Charlottesville, broadcast a show from up there. To this day, it was the biggest show, Liberty News, and Liberty News and TPC's ever broadcast. In fact, they crashed the servers. We'll come back, people. We're going to go straight to Jason Kessler. Be right back, folks.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR as hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go straight to Jason Kessler. Like I was saying, Jason Kessler is a giant in the so-called, in the real patriot movement, white patriot movement. He's the one that organized to unite the right conference at the Battle of Charlottesville. It was there August the 12th of 2017. So we're going to go right straight to Jason. Jason, take it away, brother.
Yeah, great to be back with you, Eddie. And always proud to talk about the role that you and I played in Charlottesville. And I have a new book that's come out earlier this year that's about that. And so I'm very excited for people to get a chance to read that.
What is the name of that book, Jason, and how can they get it?
The name of the book is Charlottesville and the Death of Free Speech, and it's available in two places. You can get it on my website, dissident.press. It's not .com, it's .press. And there you can get hardcover, paperback, you get signed versions, unsigned versions, and just the regular paperback and hardcover also available on Amazon. If you have a hard time finding that, you just search Charlottesville and the Death of Free Speech.
You know, Jason, they can always contact Eddie at BloodRiverRadio.com if they want to order your book, and we'll sure get that message to Jason. So go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, and I'm really excited for people to get the true story about what happened, and this free speech battle is really heating up. It's a lot about the online stuff now and what's going on with Elon Musk and X and digital rights and so forth. But Charlottesville, unfortunately, was the moment when the door was slammed shut on the free speech movement as it was originally intended to be something that people could do in the public square where they could assemble and speak their minds. And, you know, we just had some real tough patriots there who were literally willing to fight for their rights to speak, because we had an army of anti-speech extremists, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, arrayed against us, and people still had the courage to show up and, you know, defend themselves against these people. And the book, you know, spares no details in exposing who these Antifa were, their names, their criminal records. There's beautiful full-color photographs in the book, which is, as far as I know, this is the only book on Charlottesville that's got those color photographs. So we spared no expense in making sure that we had a very, very high-quality product for folks.
You know, Jason, I'd like to say, I was telling you before the break, I'll tell the audience, our listeners, our family, I have an incredible, an unending amount of admiration for what you did. That what you did took a lot of guts, and a lot of brains, a lot of intelligence, endless work. God only knows how much money. Your life was made miserable. If you want to know the truth, I'm not trying to be, you know, morbid, but I'm really surprised that you weren't at least beaten severely more than once, or maybe even killed for what you did, because everybody is mama. Around with a 100-mile radius of Charlottesville knew who the hell you were. And I just thank God. I think that the way you survived, thank God Almighty saved your life, young man. But and I salute you, and I thank you for what you did at Charlottesville. It's my undying wish. My God Almighty, I wished we could lead a charge back to Charlottesville and just raise hell up there. All the prisoners are out now that we've had a prisoner come on here. He's out now, several of them, and I wish we could go after them, but that will always be a bitter thing in my life, in my mouth, because we haven't been able to go back there and just kick some ass. But anyway, I don't want to commandeer the show. Go ahead, Jason. Carry on, brother.
I mean, we could have a debate about whether going back to Charlottesville would be the right thing, but I definitely feel like I'm getting to a point in my life where I'd like to start exploring the idea of doing some kind of activism again, if not exactly the kind of big, huge event like we did at Charlottesville. I unfortunately had to live in urban, left-wing cities for most of my adult life, and that's changed. I finally moved not just out of Charlottesville, which I left 8-9 years ago, but I left Northern Virginia, and now I'm living in Appalachia. I'm right near the border of Ohio and West Virginia and Kentucky. So, yeah, I'm hoping that maybe in the near future I can link up with some like-minded people and we can start to do some form of activism again, because I don't like the idea of being intimidated into silence. That's why I did the United the Right 2 rally in D.C. the year after Charlottesville. And I don't feel like my story is finished until I've been able to come back from that beating that they've given me and find some way to contribute to white identity politics in the public square.
Well, you know what? If nothing else, that book, and I'm sad to say I didn't get it. I met when we were in Greenville, was it last June? I left there without one of your books. I will order one of your books. In fact, I'll probably get several of them and give them to our donors, to our family. I'll place an order in that before too long. That's for sure. You know, I know you know how money's always tight, but we have to reward our good people to keep this show afloat. But anyway, the one thing that book, I haven't read it, but I know people who have. For instance, our co-host Gene Andrews, and it's great. You kind of like, in the same way Gene gives the correct version of overall history. I've never seen anybody better at history than Gene Andrews. The guy has a brain, but. And what he's done for the Confederacy almost every Saturday on Blood River Radio, you have done for the true history of Charlottesville. And I'll tell you what, I've told my grandson, I've told young people, I don't think the young people realize just how significant Charlottesville was. I'm so proud I was there. I'm so proud you wrote that book. And I'm very proud of you, Jason. I'm really proud of having you on this program. Very, very few people have done what you have done. We all have people. Oh, we're in the movie. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But no one. I mean, you're one out of a thousand, brother. And I salute you on the air for that. I really do.
The first people to get the book were all of the Southern nationalist types, you know, because I debuted the book at the political cesspool conference that just happened in 2024. So a lot of the people who were first to buy the book actually were in Charlottesville. And now I'm like, you know, working on trying to get the book out to larger and larger concentric circles of audiences, you know. So now the book is, I mean, it's gone to a lot of different continents, excuse me. People have bought it in Asia. They bought it in Japan. People have bought it in Scotland. They bought it in Ireland and England and in Australia. And lots of different places, so it's very exciting to have all of these people who actually weren't at Charlottesville and may not have even been in the movement at the time of Charlottesville to learn about that history, because I feel like it's very pivotal for people to understand. If there's been protests throughout, you know, white identity politics for you know, decades. And people really haven't been writing books about that. So it's sort of like arcane history that people don't learn from. They don't learn about how the government can set people up, can abridge their free speech rights and all of these other things. So now you have a book about this, not just any protest, but perhaps the most significant, white identity protest ever. Certainly of, you know, the, 21st century so far. So hopefully that will be something that the movement can learn from and grow stronger from over time.
I would say so. I would say, from what I know, the only other protest, and I wasn't there because I guess probably before my time, or almost before my time, was I'm good friends with the Robs over in Arkansas, Thomas Robb and his son, Jason Robb, he's an attorney. He's going to be on the program next week here at Blood River. They had his dad, they used to organize street protests, but Ms. Pastor Robb stopped doing that, and I think he made a mistake, because it did get violent and people were having urine thrown on them and things like that, but I don't think he should allow the thugs to run them off the street. But they had a big protest in Chicago. I don't remember what year that was, but it was one hell of a battle, buddy. But I don't think even that, I think Charlottesville probably eclipsed that from what I've heard. That would be the only other protest I know in my lifetime that could compare, even come close to what we did in Charlottesville. And I, like I told people, I'm very, very proud of being there. I mean, hell, I told my grandson, I said, you know, Papa was in history. Well, I mean, we're in the history books, dude. I could not be more proud. And I know you are. In fact, I'm tingling right now. you know, now I'll ask you a question. You know, just as we protested in Charlottesville, being, you know, ethnically cleansed, and the end goal of ethnic cleansing is ethnic extermination, as you well know. What's going on right now? It's not just in the United States, not just in Charlottesville or the South or the United States. Our white people are having to battle this all over the world, Jason. I'm sure you will agree. I mean, Ireland is just being totally inundated with these thugs, these darkies from North Africa. The same thing in Germany. Sweden, my God, of all places, Sweden has become the rape capital of Europe. It's just pathetic. Our people all over the world are under the same duress that we are. And you know, before we come back, Jason, before we get too far fetched, I want to ask you, is there any way we at Blood River Radio, anyway, Jason Kessler, us as a group, to reach out to our brothers in Europe to unite in the battle? So when we come back from this break, Jason, be thinking about that if you don't mind, brother. Be right back, dear people.
corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters reporting. Speaker Mike Johnson was reelected to the top post in the House in a stunning floor vote on the opening day of Congress on Friday, securing the gavel on the first ballot. Bernie Bennett reports.
But the vote did not come without drama. Republicans Ralph Norman of South Carolina and Keith Self of Texas had initially voted for candidates other than Johnson. Norman voted for Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio, and Self voted for Representative Byron Donalds of Florida. The clerk, though, held open the vote. After negotiations with Johnson, Norman and Self made their way to the front of the chamber and switched to support Johnson. The vote is also a victory for President-elect Donald Trump, who had endorsed Johnson and was instrumental in rallying Republicans around the speaker. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Ukraine's leader expresses his hopes for working with President-elect Trump in the months ahead.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says President-elect Donald Trump is strong and unpredictable, and those qualities can be a decisive factor in his policy approach to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. However, Zelensky adds, it won't be possible to end the almost 3 years of war in one day. Zelensky said in a Ukrainian television interview late Thursday that fighting on the battlefield can end quite quickly if Trump is strong in his position. I'm Charles Ledesma.
In an extraordinary turn, a judge has set President-elect Donald Trump's sentencing in his hush money case for January 10th, a little over a week before he's due to return to the White House, but indicated he wouldn't be jailed. Judge Juan Merchan issued the ruling Friday. He signaled in a written decision that he'd sentence the former and future president to what's known as a conditional discharge, in which a case gets dismissed if a defendant avoids rearrest. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 339 points, the Nasdaq rose 340, the S&P advanced 74. More at townhall.com.
Heard me talk about Relief Factor and how so many people enjoy a better, more pain-free life because of it. If you're dealing with everyday pain, it makes sense you'd want to try it first. Well, Relief Factor makes that pretty pain-free, too, with their three-week quick start kit for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It helps reduce or eliminate pain. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF for Relief Factor.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money, but if you can get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care, and that's MediShare. You get both. The typical family saves $500 a month and they love it. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. So yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Call now. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE.
Zen.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had lessons.
Dear Blood River Radio family, this is a great, I'm really having a good time. If you want to call it a good time, because I want to get Jason Kessler on for quite some time. Just to recap, in case you're just now tuning in, Jason Kessler was the organizer of the Unite the Right conference back in August the 12th of 2017, Year of Our Lord and Savior. And I was going to proudly say I was there. Jason could proudly say not only was he there, he organized the whole shebang. And he's our guest, just in case you're just tuning in, he's our guest, our honored guest. And Jason was talking to me during the break about, you know, we always talk about how Elon Musk, I think it is, he's taking over X, and he's going to make a free speech for everybody. But I just heard something from Jason that's a little bit contrary to that. So go ahead and tell us about that, Jason, what you told me during the break.
Yeah, in the closing chapters of the book, I actually talk about how the fight for free speech has kind of moved into this digital space, and people have been driven out of the public square after Charlottesville. And there was a question about whether Musk was going to uphold his promise to enforce free speech on X. And honestly, I think it's kind of a mixed bag, but this has been a huge week in the development of, you know, people's perceptions of Musk and whether he's going to uphold free speech, because he has been supporting Donald Trump. He's been saying that he's against illegal immigration. He's been saying a lot of good things, honestly, saying that he's against the woke mind virus. Then a chink in his armor has come up, because on Christmas, this huge brouhaha began over H-1B visas and yes, so-called highly skilled immigration. Basically, what happened is Laura Loomer had mentioned this AI appointee that Donald Trump had had appointed, named Sriram Krishna. He's this Indian guy, very strange-looking fellow, like a Frankenstein-looking guy, very strange forehead. And first of all, he does not seem like he's highly skilled to do this. There's videos of him out there saying, you know, he's mostly just a good BSer. You know, he doesn't have any technical skill. He just knows how to talk his way into positions in corporate hierarchies. And so this set off Elon Musk, because Elon Musk, you know, I don't think people appreciated, he's bringing in a lot of Indians. He laid off a ton of people at his Tesla factory and replaced them with these Indian guys. And Musk was straight up insulting the white American resource pool that we have here in America, and saying that actually white guys are kind of dumb, and, you know, he's got to go outside of the country to find this top tier talent. The reality is that, you know, first of all, there are other visa programs that bring in the highly skilled people. And a lot of these H-1B people that are coming in are not highly skilled. They're doing just normal jobs. They're not the elite of the elite. They're taking work from Americans. They're effectively acting as scabs that are, yes, you know, foreign labor driving down wages and employment for Americans, Native Americans, people who were born here. So it's a big problem, and Musk did not respond well at all to the criticism. He's taking people's check marks away. He's demonetizing people, and in some cases he's outright banning people. And people are fighting him in the comment sections, and he's getting a lot of ratios. I'm getting you know, thousands of reactions on my post, you know, arguing with him, which I guess shows that, you know, the censorship is not total. But this is a growing problem, because it's clear that his commitment to free speech absolutism is not really what it is. He wants to act as a monarch who gets to decide monolithically what people are allowed to say.
You know, that is very insulting, and it really angered me. I heard about which is what you got through describing, Jason. And it's my understanding that Trump, President Trump, matter of fact, I found out just Rich Hamblin, our brother Rich Hamblin, sent me a clip last night. Yeah, well, last night I saw it this morning about how, I didn't know this, Donald Trump converted over to Judaism in 2000. This is leading to what you're talking about. He converted over to Judaism in 2017. And not only that, he joined Chabad Lubavitch, which is, to my understanding, one of the most virulent anti-white, anti-Christian sects of Judaism. And so him being a tool, in fact, I've said that Benjamin Netanyahu is the one that really got elected president, who's going to be taking office in a few days here in the United States. But we'll have to get to saying this when I ask you a question. Donald Trump has given, my understanding, the full okay, giving the orders to Musk and this other Indian dude that he's placed in. I can't believe he got I think he's even a Hindu, who has a high up office here in the United States. Trump has told them, if you have skill, it doesn't matter where you come from in the world, we're going to give you this visa. We're gonna flood this country in here. Instead of him flooding the country with Mexicans and Hispanics from South America and Haiti, is he a tool, Jason, of the international Zionist? Are they going to perpetuate the ethnic cleansing of white people here in the United States and probably the world? Is he going to do that? Is this facade, this narrative that Trump and Musk have put out, we're looking for talent, Americans are too stupid, is that, Jason, in your opinion, just cover, just camouflage for a continuation of the ethnic cleansing of white people here in the United States?
Well, I think with Trump, it's a complicated picture. I supported him in 2024. I didn't support him in 2020. But just seeing how bad the Biden administration was, I mean, we didn't have any really great options. I still believe that Trump was the lesser evil, and possibly, you know, maybe he'll do some good on certain issues, like maybe the illegal immigration, because that was just out of control under Biden, and certainly it wouldn't have been any better under Kamala. I don't think bringing in these Indians would have been better under, you know, a woman who is Indian herself. But, you know, there's some things that we're going to disagree with Trump on, and this H-1B thing is a major problem. In the past, he's said that H-1Bs were a problem and that he wanted to take actions to support American workers. But it seems like Musk is really in his ear. I mean, this is the world's richest man, and he seems to have this idea that Indians are some kind of superior talent. And he's teamed up with this presidential candidate, Vivek Ramaswamy, who's saying a similar thing, that he's saying that Indian culture is superior and their upbringing makes them better than whites, essentially. But, I mean, look, in general, there might be some smart people in India. Of course there are. There's smart people everywhere. But in general, I don't think that they are better than white people. India has like some 80-something average IQ. That's not great. That's not good at all.
No.
And if you watch recent travel videos from people going over there, all the infrastructure that the British built, those wonderful buildings and architecture, all the modern amenities that the British brought to that country have just gone to hell because they haven't maintained it at all. And I mean, the people are living in filth, you know, they're literally defecating in the street. And it's nasty and it's unsanitary. So for these people to try to claim that they're superior to white people, it's just laughable. But, you know, yes, it seems like this has been in the works for a while, unfortunately. For me, I'm clued into the racial stuff. So I see when there's a subtext going on. And look at all the Indians stuff that it has risen up in American politics. All of a sudden, just within the last year, this Vivek Ramaswamy guy became the token diversity du jour. Usually it's black people, but now suddenly it's an Indian guy.
Yes.
The vice presidential candidate, J.D. Vance, he's married to an Indian woman and has Indian children, Usha Vance. Then, you know, at the RNC conference, you had Harmeet Dhillon, who's an attorney who's represented Trump a few times, and she was praying to the Hindu god or the Sikh god, Waheguru.
My God.
It seems like they're preparing us for some kind of Indian invasion.
Well, Jason, we'll get back to that, right back to that, as soon as we come back to this last break. This hour is really flying. Be right back, dear people. Hang on to your seats.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, you know, it infuriates me to see some Hindu snake-charming cow worshiper, and not to admit ugly. I mean, is there anything, and I'm not quite as cultured as some of our guests, is there anything uglier, I'll ask you, than a damn Indian, other than it would be a toss-up between an Aborigine from Australia? That's the ugliest creatures that God ever made. I mean, my Lord, you're talking about just straight up ugly. And I would like to ask this Ramaswamy dude about 18 inches from his face. I've never heard anybody say they can't wait to take a trip, a nice vacation to the black hole of Calcutta, where they still have leprosies thriving, and they have gonorrhea off the charts, and every kind of disease imaginable. The overcrowding is unimaginable. The poverty is just unimaginable. And I've never heard anybody say, I can't wait to get over. I'm taking my suntan lotion and my swimsuit. I'm going to go and take a nice dip. And And I just mentioned the name of that river, and the Ganges River, where there's dead bodies and feces floating down. I just can't wait to go take a dive in that. But Jason was telling me during the break about, Jason, tell him about what happens with these blue-haired cat mamas, these liberal white women that go there looking for spiritual enlightenment. Tell us about that, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of liberal white women who are used to doing yoga and so forth, meditation here in the United States, and they think that it's going to be this cleansing spiritual retreat to go to India, and then they actually meet the Indians, and there's tons of gang rapists, you know, and women have to marry their rapist in India, and you have, as you say, people defecating in the streets, all these Indian guys will just get in a line trying to take a picture with a white woman so that they can post the picture online and say, this is my girlfriend, you know, to try and increase their value or whatever. It's not a safe place for a woman there, but they don't, you know, tell you that stuff if you're not racially aware.
And, you know, if they're so highly advanced, especially tech-wise, why do we not have a mass exodus from MIT and Stanford and Georgia Tech, hell, even Tennessee Tech? You know, well, I see no mass exit out of the United States going over. I see that the airlines are not just begging for extra help to take all these Americans over there because the Indians are so advanced in the technological fields. I mean, it's the other way around. I mean, and I'll just go back to the question. It's my personal view, and I think you phrased it well. I think Donald Trump, in my own opinion, he's just a puppet. He's just a puppet of the Jews. Matter of fact, he converted over to Judaism. I think it looks like the evidence would point to him playing ball, dancing to the tune of the Jewish international bankers, the Jewish media, and to save his ass from going to prison for one thing. But it seems to me, Jason, is just a form of ethnic cleansing, and just the anecdotal evidence. I go, and I'm always talking about Shelby Farms Park here in Shelby County, Tennessee. It's the largest urban park in the United States. It hadn't been that many years ago, and I do a lot of training over there for marathons. Everybody and his mama that listens to Blood River Radio, they know that I eat and sleep and breathe running. Keeps my mind from going nutty, too nutty. But I noticed there's been a trend. 20 years ago, it was primarily blacks started taking over the park. It's a beautiful park. The white people have developed and have spent a lot of money on. We have a big lakes over there, great running trails through the Wolf River bottoms. But then, all of a sudden, it seemed like the so-called Hispanics, the Mexicans, people from Colombia, Honduras, kind of ran them out. So it was a kind of overcome with them. And just recently, Jason, just to back up what you said, just in very recent times, all of a sudden, it just seemed like in the past 60 days, we're being overrun with these ugly Indians. Something else, too, that I don't know if you're aware of it or not, Jason, but the exact same thing is happening in Canada. Monica Schaefer lives in Canada. Paul Fromm comes on our program quite frequently, and they were on the show about a month ago talking about how they're being just overrun with these Mexicans. Now, I got to make this quick. Paul Fromm took a trip almost all the way across Canada not that long ago, about 5 weeks ago, and everywhere he stopped, they have a chain up there kind of like Dunkin' Donuts here in the United States. Every one of them were run by East Indians, and all the hotel chains run by Indians. They're just, and it's out in the middle of nowhere because, you know, in Western Canada is pretty thinly populated. But even these little podunk towns in Western Canada, he said they're pouring in. And one last thing, Jason, I'm going to shut the hell up. They're actually having protests in Canada now. These East Indians are in the street screaming to the white Canadians, you need to get out of Canada. You are not Canadian. We're the rightful Canadian citizens. Get back to Europe. And what I would tell them, how the hell are you going to go back to Europe? The same damn thing's happening there. I got to shut up. Back to you, Jason. I hope I didn't hog up this segment, brother.
Well, I think part of the reason people are so concerned about this Indian problem is once you start looking into it, there's different layers to it, like an onion. There's the H1B thing, but then you start noticing that these people are very nepotistic to their own kind. They have a very tight network in a way that, you know, is maybe only secondary to Jews. These are like brown Jews that are coming over, and they only take care of their own kind, and they try to hoard wealth and bring over their own people. It's very concerning, because once you start looking at it, you start realizing, holy crap, we're actually being subverted by an invasion. I'll give you an example of this. Besides just the H-1Bs, they say that these are highly skilled, highly talented, the best of the best. Then why are there so many of them working at gas stations and convenience stores and so forth? And this isn't just in the United States. I was traveling through Europe earlier in the year, late last year, and I would go to Athens, you know, and there's Indians all in the convenience stores there, and you go to Italy, and there's Indians there. What they do is, you know, they get somebody who's wealthy, kind of like what the Jews did when they started invading Palestine with the Rothschilds, and they start buying things up. They start buying little convenience stores, little gas stations, and they use that as a launching pad for their invasion. Then they start bringing in all their nincompoop relatives to come and work at the gas station and whatever. They do their best, like the Latinos do, to have a baby while they're here, because then that, oh, that's an American citizen, you know, through the magic dirt theory of American identity. You have a baby here and it's an American, apparently. It's really concerning, because you could be in the whitest area in the country, and I am right now. I'm living in Appalachia, and I still see Indians at, like, at the motels, at the convenience stores, at the gas stations, and the fact they're not just doing it in the United States, they're doing it all through Europe as well, is very concerning, and I think we need to have these people more on our radar. Part of the reason it's a problem is because these people like Musk, I don't think Musk is trying to, like, replace white people. But because of the systematic discrimination against white people, he holds prejudices against his own kind. And I think there's a lot of elites, even white elites, who are like that, because you have all these DEI policies and everything that are discriminating against white people from jump. You know, they can't get into the universities. You know, they can't get the positions at the companies if they do graduate from a university. And because they miss a step on the rung because of discrimination, people assume that they're not good enough when they just haven't been given the opportunity. So they get hit with the double whammy of being discriminated against, and then people assume they're not good enough, so they're going to bring in foreign workers to replace them. It's a vicious cycle.
You know, Jason, I mentioned Jason Robb earlier. He's an attorney, and I'll have to make this quick. We're almost out of time. He published a little booklet. We have some here for sale, but it's called Dark Medicine. And Jason, they come out in the medical establishment. They do not have they don't try to camouflage it. They don't try to hide it. They don't try to sugarcoat it. I wish I had one of the books right here. I could read just a brief paragraph. They don't sugarcoat it. The powers and the movers and shakers in the medical establishments are saying, if you are white, you need not apply to the medical schools. You need not apply to the nurse practitioner schools. They said that medicine is racist. It's been white too long. We're going to change that. Jason, since you just described what's going on in Europe with the Indian situation, what I know is going on in the Canada, to me, I think you made it clear to me that there is a giant plan, conspiracy, if you will, to replace white people in Europe and all formerly white nations, because we're greatly, greatly outnumbered. If they keep bringing these suckers in here, and they will, unless we stop them, we will be ethnically cleansed. Jason, I'm sorry, we have run completely out of time. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you coming on. I'd love to get you on as regularly, irregular if I could. You're great, a great guy. And thank you so much, Jason, for coming on tonight, brother. And hey, keep in touch with me, and I'll do the same with you, Jason.
Yeah, had a great time. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Jason. Good night. Good night. Thank you so much, Blood River Radio, for tuning in. We're going to transition to the second hour right now, and we're going to pick up Don Wassel from Cast Football. Be right back, folks.